This week marks the beginning of another season of Lent. In case you didn't notice by the change in paraments or the big cross that's up here, we are all now in the 40 days or so that lead up to Easter, which is the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And Lent, in case most of you I would assume in here know, but in case you don't, Lent always begins in the same fashion. It's always with everyone, Ash Wednesday, thank you. Just making sure everyone's awake, making sure everybody has a little theology lesson this morning. It's important to know. Lent always begins with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is a day of reflection and repentance as we enter into the season. And it all is symbolized with an ashen cross on the forehead. Some people get it on their hand. And the words that are said as we receive the sign of the cross, as some of you did maybe this past Wednesday here, Pastor Monica shared the words, "From God you have come, and to God you will return." As people of faith, people of belief, we believe that all things begin with God. And I think most people around the world, if you were to talk to them, believe that most things begin with God or a creator, a source of life. Because we've seen throughout all of recorded history, in every place and time, that humans have always sought out a connection to the divine. Humans have always wondered, where did we come from? How did we get here? Recently, I started watching it's a TV series called The Story of God. I think it's on National Geographic. And it's hosted and narrated by Morgan Freeman, which I gotta say, I can't think of a better person, because when I think of what God's voice sounds like, it's always Morgan Freeman, right? Like, if you don't agree, well then, sorry, you're missing out. It's been a really fascinating series. I've loved watching it. It's super interesting to me. And what I've loved especially is the awe-inspiring things that I've learned about how people over thousands of years across different cultures and religions have explained who God is, and to see how all these different cultures have created practices and spiritual, mainly just practices, that bring them closer to God as a way to understand God, to get closer. And I think that one of the most important ways that we begin a journey of living into a spiritual life and connecting with God is the way by which we name God. Who do we call God? Who is God to us? Naming in general is an important practice for all of us. We name our things, we name our pets, we name our children, most importantly. All of us, when we were born, were given a name, and that name is an identifier for us. It says something about who we are. Because the name and the meaning of the name give clarity to what makes that person or that thing special. And as people of faith, the name of God and the names that we give to God hold deep and sacred meaning to us. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is there and the Spirit of God is present, and he asks God, "Well, who do I tell the people, who do I say sent me? We don't know who you are." He calls them the God of our ancestors. And God says to him, "Tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you." And that's the first name. That's the name of God, the first time we see it printed in Scripture. And over time, people have ascribed different names to God over the ages. And they may not be just a single phrase of I am, because that's kind of speaks for itself, I am. But we give names that help us understand and describe who God is to us, what God has done for us, and who he has revealed himself to be. We have God Almighty, I am that I am, merciful, God who sees, the Creator, the Protector, Eternal One, the Everlasting, God is peace, God will provide. We call out these names to a God who we know is present all around us all the time. During the 40 days of Lent, we often spend time as a congregation and maybe in our personal lives, studying and reflecting on the life of Jesus and his teachings. And this Lenten season, we will be reflecting on the Lord's Prayer here in worship. And it's a prayer that's, I would say, familiar to all of us. We say it here every week. And most of us probably learned it when we were very small. And when we look in the scripture in Matthew 6, this takes place during the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of my favorite portions of scripture. And it simply begins with Jesus goes up to a mountain, there's a crowd of people around him, and he speaks to them for 2-3 chapters, a little while. And when Jesus is speaking to the crowd and when he's teaching, he is teaching them about how they should pray. And he begins this prayer that he taught with, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the common English translation of the Bible, it says, "Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name." Before Jesus says anything else in this prayer, he identifies who it is that he's praying to, which makes sense. When we pray to God or when we call out for a person, we identify the person that we're calling out to, right? So it may be easy to overlook the deep significance of the beginning of this prayer. Jesus calls God Father and affirms that God's name is holy. And he says that God's name is holy because God is holy. He knows that God is holy. The name of God is sacred and it is divine, and it is a name that belongs to a God that is different from all others in some ways. We know and are known by a God that is unlike anything other faiths may have seen. The holiness of God is something that's been passed down to us through writing, through experience, from folks from scripture into the saints of old who have experienced God's glory firsthand. We know that God's holiness hovered over the waters before creation. God's holiness burned as a bush before Moses when revealing the name I Am. God's holy power led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and opened the sea before them. God's holiness was in the gentle whisper that came to Elijah after the wind and after the earthquake had passed. And God's holiness was revealed to the prophet Isaiah and called him to be a voice that called the Israelite people back to God. And God's holiness was present on that mountain in the person of Jesus. The sacred holiness of God is the foundation of all that Jesus taught, because it's the foundation of who Jesus is. Jesus was God's son. He came from God. He was holy as God was holy. And Jesus' ministry was always focused on drawing people back to the truth that it is God's holiness that creates and holds and sustains all things. During Lent, a common practice is having time throughout those days where we are reminded that God's holiness calls us to examine our hearts and to turn from the things that distract us from living a life devoted to God in love. And at times, and I've talked to different people from different faith backgrounds and different traditions who have all had their own take on what this process of turning back and examining ourselves means. And I think at times for some, what I've gathered is that they feel like they need to suffer in order to fully repent, that it doesn't really count unless we, shall I say, feel like we're punishing ourselves for falling short. Maybe some of us have felt that way at times. Maybe we feel that we're too separated from God and we have to work extra hard to make up for our lack of devotion and obedience. But I want to remind you, as you go through this season, to not feel stuck in that, because the truth that comes from God is that we are inherently loved and God's presence surrounds us even in the midst of the times that we fail. God created humankind in his image. No other thing in creation is like that. We are different from everything else And our lives and our souls are separate in a special way from all other things. We are the most like God out of all of his creation. So that means if God is holy and God created us, we are holy because we come from God. And our Lenten practice is just meant to call us back to the truth about who we are and whose we are. And the Apostle Paul wrote this much later after the life of Jesus, when he was writing to the church in Corinth. He says, "Don't you know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? If someone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, because God's temple is holy, which is what you are." We are holy already. We just have to live into it. We have to remember that it's there. It doesn't go away. The grace of God is always present. It doesn't go anywhere. It never leaves us. We already have the thing that we need. Are our hearts open to it? So during this season of Lent, I encourage you to pray and reflect on the Lord's Prayer and look for God's holy moments in the world around us. Pray to see holiness in your neighbor, in your coworker, in a family member. And remember that our repentance is our realigning with who God already made us to be, a child that is sacred and loved. Because we serve a God and are created by a God and love a God who is a God of grace and mercy, love and kindness, who's a teacher and a parent and a healer and a guide. And we know all of these things. We can trust and believe in all of these things because we know God's name. Amen.